Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you for wisdom. We ask you for favor to restore the republic. Many problems at this time, many setbacks, which you told us was going to happen, so that people would realize that it was you doing this. And we appreciate that, Lord. We want to see you glorified in the midst of all of this, even in all of man's failures. And we thank you, Father, that you're the one that's going to drain the swamp, and this battle is yours. And we give it to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for wisdom today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about the faction election war 1, and I guess this would be number 7. At this particular time, we appear to be headed to civil war between the deep state, aided by China, and the Trump administration. And we're being warned by the administration through different avenues that we should have food and water and fuel and money in our homes to sustain a siege and martial law for 2 to 6 weeks. And of course, martial law will be used to correct election lawbreakers and other lawbreakers for military tribunals, because the liberal judges would just fight the deep state, and the military tribunals are the only way that they feel that they can handle this many lawbreakers. And it's totally legal, of course, but what we have learned is that the deep state is being given authority to judge America, but that God will turn their weapons against the Edomites, the apostates, etc. The Edomites are identified as those who hate and war against their own brothers, and they're traitors, in other words. These Edomites who hate their chosen brother, Israel, as in the scriptures, as a type of the church, are embedded in the state and in the church. It's a huge thing, bigger than anybody thought it would be. It's infiltrated organized crime into every area. But we know God has promised to drain the swamp, and he's been using Trump very well. But I think a lot of people have put their faith in President Trump, and it should be in God, because President Trump is a vessel like any of the rest of us, and he's been very successful and done a lot of good, which we all appreciate very much. But when this necessary judgment is over, God will give the victory to President Trump, and it doesn't matter how big the odds are, as you who know the scriptures know, it matters not. In fact, when the odds are against you, God favors you. So, and I believe that God's going to give victory to President Trump, ultimately. And I believe it will last up until the tribulation. And around the middle of the tribulation, I believe this same beast that appears to be conquered will rise up again, larger, meaner. And I've explained to you in the past why the Lord has shown me that this is necessary. At this time, basically, the traitors in the church are against the bride and against the man-child. And yet God is using this for a crucifixion for them. But in the tribulation is a tribulation of the church. And that's because Jesus, the man child, and the bride that he went forth with, according to John the Baptist, was sent to the church to raise the church up so that they too would understand God's principles and why we have to live the crucified life, and how that they will be strengthened of the Lord. Many of these things the church knows nothing about, is not prepared. And so when this revelation and understanding comes to the church through the man, child, and bride, they will be better prepared to stand against the beast and the harlot of the tribulation period. And God wants them to be prepared to do this. And we all have to be tested. Everything's tested, right, by the Lord. We're all going through tests every day by the Lord. We should see them as that. And anyway, this revelation that I'm going to share with you points to this fall of the deep state Babylonish beast to President Trump and its later resurrection in the middle of the trib. That's something I've told you about, that I felt the Lord showed me. And this was, I believe, confirming it very well. We called it the Vampire Beast Returns. Yes, I know nobody wants to hear about that, but it's necessary. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. We have choices to make. And the biggest choice we have to make is that we're going to obey the Word of God in the midst of the fiery trial that wants to pull us in the opposite direction. And that's a decision that we make. And it's a crucifixion decision because it puts to death the life of the old man who wants to take the easy way out every time. And so anyway, I'll share this with you. This was a revelation given to Isaac Payne. And he shared it with Garrett Crawford, who shared it with us. Now, we know Isaac, but at this particular time, he had shared it with Garrett, and Garrett shared it with us. It was very good. Garrett said Isaac shared this dream with me. As he retold it, I clearly saw Revelation 13. I asked Isaac if he was familiar with that chapter, and he said no. He had never read it. Without knowing, Isaac was clearly shown a deeper revelation of Revelation 13. Isaac said, "In this dream, I was standing in my woodshed watching a man hold a double-edged sword." Well, we know that Hebrews 4:12 speaks about a two-edged sword, for the Word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that you may think that this doesn't fit this man, but what the Lord showed me is it's God's people standing behind this man. Okay. Isaac said this man resembled a knight. However, he wasn't wearing any armor. Well, I believe the saints, and especially the man-child, have through faith in the Word given to President Trump protection, even without his own armor. You know we have armor. We put on armor to defend ourselves, and it's always related to the Word of God. And we have extended our armor around President Trump by the authority that the Lord has given unto us, by the authority that he's given us authority with the angels to go and fight with the enemy, and so on. So basically, he doesn't have his personal armor because he's not really fully in tune with the scriptures. And, of course, the saints have put this sword in his hand to bring down Satan's kingdom. As I read on, you'll see this. First, I'm going to share this text that Garrett shared, which is really speaks of us more than anybody else. But we have authority given by God, and to even to pray for leaders, right, that we would live a peaceable life, the Bible says, right? Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, or excuse me, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, we know the wiles of the devil are coming against the church to bring destruction to the church, but we can withstand them, and we can also pray for those people who are in authority in the natural realm. We've been shown a parallel between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. In the natural realm, God has raised up Cyrus as a trump, you know, to fight in the physical realm. He has authority in the physical realm. And the man-child parallel has authority in the spiritual realm. And, of course, the spiritual realm is what is providing for President Trump right now in giving him strength, in giving him wisdom, and giving him the defense against the enemy, and so on. So you keep on praying because the battle's not over. Far from it, okay? Verse 12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. Now, you know, people in physical authority, that's what they wrestle with, flesh and blood. But the people who are working with the conservatives and with the president, the saints of God, are doing the spiritual warfare. Even though these people, they do the physical warfare against flesh and blood, that's not our calling. Our calling is against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is where the battle is won. The physical is just a carrying out of what we do in warfare in the heavenly realms. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. As I've said, the armor of God is all related to the word manifested in you. There is no defense for a person who doesn't have the word in them unless God's people are standing behind that person and defending them and sending the angels to them and so on and so forth. So that's what's happening here. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Right? You have a defense against the enemy as long as you're righteous, even if it's righteous by faith, because you are justified by faith. But if you don't have this justification by faith, the devil is going to walk all over you because your heart condemns you, right? And he is going to take advantage of you and take every bit of faith away from you. So we're justified by faith, and we put on this breastplate of righteousness and girded with the loins, about the loins with truth, right? Truth. Truth is our sword. Having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, let me say, if you get caught up in this competitive thing out there between the left and the right, you're still really in the wrong kingdom here. You know, our job is to bring the gospel to people that don't know it. Who is that? Well, the people on the left particularly don't know it and have been taken total advantage of by the demonic hordes. So we're here to save as many as can be saved. Remember the Apostle Paul. He was an enemy of God's people, of the kingdom of God, literally. even though he was well versed in the scriptures, you know, he still was an enemy. And yet God turned him around and made him the greatest apostle. With all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Okay, so we know that our faith is powerful enough to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. That is, those that are coming against the kingdom, that are coming against you, whatever, you know. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So with that as our background, Isaac went on to say, he had both of his hands, that is this knight, he had both of his hands on the hilt of the sword as his arms were reached as high as he could possibly reach. I saw this as reaching the end of his own ability, right? He is doing things beyond his ability, literally, and that's because the saints are standing behind him in prayer in all things. Okay. The blade pointing towards the ground as he was preparing to thrust the sword downward to pierce whatever was underneath him with all of his might. Okay. As I walked closer to observe, I saw two bales of hay, one on the left and the other on the right. The knight, the one without armor, was aiming for the gap between the two bales of hay. I believe that the bales of hay represent that the enemy has been trapped, you know, by this knight in particular. He has been trapped by man's works, his own works, and his enemy's works. I take that to mean that the deep state itself has been trapped by their own evil works and thinking that they're immune because their father strengthens them through their sacrifices to win in many, many battles so far. And but there is one stronger and greater and mightier. And there are the people who are over and above the witches and the Satanists who pray. And that is the people of God and their prayers. And we have dominion over all of them, even the least and to the greatest. And in the Bible, this hay is spoken of as wood, hay, and stubble. And it represents man's works that will ultimately all be burned up, you know. Man's works. God works through men. All the kingdoms of the world have been ruled by men in a carnal way. And yet God has given one kingdom to another all the way down to in order to correct his saints, bring to repentance his saints, bring to the cross his saints. He's used the kingdoms of men to do what men do, right? He forbids us from getting into that realm other than the fact that we can exercise our authority to preserve men who are doing something that's favorable to the kingdom, like Cyrus, who was extremely favorable to the kingdom. By supplying it with the people to return and also the money and everything else to rebuild the kingdom. Okay. And, of course, we know that President Trump, I believe, is this knight and that he has been aided and protected by the prayers of the saints. And that's who this beast is really after, by the way. He's already gotten everybody else. He's after the saints. And Isaac said, underneath the bales of hay was a small vampire beast laying on the floor. Vampire beast, okay. This is the deep state. It's a vampire. It's guilty of the blood of the children and of the saints. They've harvested the blood of the adrenal glands of frightened children as they're being killed, you know, and that they've been sacrificed to Satan in order to, for the Satanists to drink the adrenochrome, the most expensive drug of the Satanists out there. So they are vampires, and it's a very good description of what is happening here. And Satan, of course, is the one that they worship. He's the one that they sacrifice to, and he, as I've said before, he wants to rule America, because if he ruled America, he could rule the world. And so he wants the head in order to control the body, right? And he pretty well had it, you know. It's amazing what the Lord has done to deliver God's people out of bondage to deep state Babylonian Satanists. He went on to say the bales of hay were on top of the vampire beast's chest and pinning him down. So basically what is hindering this vampire right now is the works that God is doing through men to bring this bondage to him. It is man's works. It is hay. The vampire beast's heart was the target between the two bales, he said. The gap was only about 4 to 6 inches wide. And the knight, the one without the armor, stabbed the vampire beast in the center of the heart. I could hear the noise of flesh separating as the sword was piercing its heart. The knight stabbed the beast 3 times in the heart as I heard the vampire beast splitting flesh. After the 3rd stroke of the sword to the heart of the beast, the knight stood proud, looking towards my direction with a confident smile, thinking he had killed it. In other words, he's looking for the affirmation of the Christians, right? Believing that he had killed this thing once and for all. And I believe that President Trump will ultimately bring down the bloodsucker, but not utterly destroy it, for it has a work to do later on the saints in the tribulation period. So in Revelation 13:3, we're told, and I saw one of his heads, that is, one of the beast's heads, as though it had been smitten unto death. Now, this is Revelation 13. This is the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's the time when the second beast rises up. The first was the dragon with the 7 heads and 10 horns and the crowns on the heads. And now you have the beast which the dragon gave its authority to. You know, the dragon, of course, is Satan, according to Revelation 12. Satan in a body of people, which is all 7 world-ruling kingdoms. And the crowns are, at this time, on the heads. However, when the middle of the tribulation comes, there's going to be a shift in government from the heads to the, well, in Daniel's revelation, it was the 10 toes. In this revelation, it's the 10 kings. They're the 10 continental divisions of the earth. So they want to break down these national boundaries and cultural boundaries in order to have a one world order, much like Constantine did. So now we're talking about these beast heads, this beast coming up out of the waters in the second 3.5 years, which is Revelation 13. And one of his heads, that's one of the beast's heads. Somebody's saying this is some guy that, you know, out there that's going to have a death wound to his head. And no, it's not talking about that. It's the beast's 7 heads of the beast, 7 world-ruling kingdoms whose seed is still with us today in the UN. Okay. This head was though it had been smitten unto death. Not talking about a human. Never was. And his death stroke was healed. And the whole of the earth wandered after the beast. Well, now, I know that there are good revelations about all this. We have some of them in our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. This is one that's being pointed out that's, I believe, very truthful, that there is a beast that we're dealing with right now. It's very evil, very much so wanting to bring the mark of the beast and wanting to control mankind as communists always do. But the Lord has his own plan, and his is the only one that's ultimately going to succeed. He uses things like this, obviously. In this particular case, the death stroke is the one I believe Trump is going to ultimately give to the deep state Babylonish empire. But it won't be a complete end as we see Babylon again in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, you know. Well, the whole earth wandered after the beast that was smitten by Cyrus, which was Babylon, deep state in our day, resurrects. I realize that there are other revelations of this, but this is the one that I believe the Lord is emphasizing here, that this thing is coming back. I've been saying it for quite a while, that I knew that this was coming back. And it was going to appear dead or be dead, because Isaac went on to say, I saw next the vampire beast arise from what was presumed to be death. Everybody believed it was dead, right? And sling the 2 bales of hay off of itself. In other words, casting off any bondage that came from men, or bondage, illegal bondage that comes because of their own evil that's been discovered and against the laws, against the Constitution, etc., etc. And as it stood up, the night was in dismay. And then it began to growl and was no more subdued. Okay? It's true. When this thing comes back, it won't be subdued by anybody but God. It won't be conquered by man. It'll be conquered by God, right? In this case, too, it's going to be put down by the strength of the Lord, right? But it's not going to be any more subdued. So, subdued, of course, is what we see the knight having done with the vampire beast. I'm saying and have been saying that in the tribulation, this beast will rise again to persecute the saints, of course, who are in need of their own cross at that time. Amen. And Isaac went on to say, suddenly I was transported to a coastal region and I was standing on a dirty, sandy road. On my right were jagged rock cliffs and elevated rocky terrain as what appeared the slope of a mountain. Could be the kingdom that we're talking about. On my left was a sea cliff, and the horizon was the ocean, the sea. Well, Revelation 13:1 says, "And he stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and upon his heads names of blasphemy." Yes, amen. And then Isaac said, "The small vampire beast was standing in the road between the two landscapes. At this point, it had the face of a man, and that's because he is a body of wicked men." Right. All the beasts, by the way, in the book of Revelation are not individuals. How can you make 7 heads, which Daniel identified the heads as beast kingdoms, all joined together in one body? He saw it. He was seeing the end time beast, the seed of all these previous kingdoms joined together in our day, because they never did really pass away, did they? Because their seed went on, according to Daniel. Their lives were prolonged, but their dominion was taken away. As a kingdom, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged in their seed, much like Christ is also, his life is prolonged in his seed. You know, Isaiah 53, right? So, he wasn't aware I was watching, but he was trying to access his power skills. He tried time and time again, but couldn't access any evil powers or skills that he knew he should have. Well, the saints in his past have hindered by their authority his satanic powers. But he must be loosed for a season to crucify the saints. Okay? So, this thing is scheduled to rise back up for another crucifixion of the saints on a larger scale. Okay? So, here we go. Out of nowhere appeared a much bigger, stronger, and more experienced vampire beast. This vampire beast had the face of a man also. Well, we understand that. Once again, beasts are corporate bodies in the book of Revelation, not individuals. Just like the bride is not an individual bride, it's a corporate body. The harlot is a corporate body. The man-child is a corporate body. All of those entities are corporate bodies of people that cover the earth. Because the book of Revelation isn't written just to us individually. It's written to the people of God all over the earth. And it must apply to them locally. These beast bodies cover the earth. Now, this is a larger, stronger beast, and the body of all lost mankind is inhabited by Satan and the dragon. If you remember in Revelation 12, he is within the dragon body, but the 7 heads and 10 horns represent all of mankind and their seed passed on down. So, but the dragon gave his authority to this beast of the second 3.5 years. And that means Satan, of course, through humanity, has given his authority to this next bigger beast, more complete beast, I would say. And he went on to say both vampires were wearing dark cloaks. In other words, their evil is hidden from mankind. Mankind thinks is good is always evil. So, yeah, they think it's good, you know, but no, it's evil. All of those who are caught up in this leftist beast, deep state beast, think it's good, but no, it's evil. You know, it's hidden to them. The bigger vampire beast was teaching the smaller vampire beast how to access his power skills. Huh, interesting. I mean, let's say that this beast, this smaller beast, obviously at one time was conquered, and Trump had brought the sword down and put an end to it. But the death stroke was healed, the Bible says. I know this can be applied to other things. I'm applying it to this because I believe that's what the Lord is doing with this parable. Don't think that you're going to totally and perfectly take away the beast. The beasts, by the way, have been ordained of God. If you go back and read the stories, you will see that God sent the beasts against his people when they needed crucifying, chastening, correction, so on and so forth. God could have done away with these beasts a long time ago. He has a purpose for them. They are needed. So if you could just consign the devil to hell and he had nothing to do on the earth, he wouldn't be able to do his job. He's the administrator of the curse on the earth. And the curse is what causes a lot of people to repent. In every kingdom, of course, that fights against itself, is divided against itself, won't stand. And Satan can't stand because he chastens God's people. He's only permitted to do just so much, as in the book of Job, because God wants a reaction from his people of repentance and faith in order to escape these judgments. So the bigger vampire beast was teaching the smaller vampire beast to access his power skills. And I watched as the more experienced beast demonstrated to the smaller beast, instructing him on how to use his authority in these powers. As we know, and as we've seen, the Satanists and the witches have exercised their power to destroy Trump several times publicly around the world. I can remember three times in particular, but I'm sure many times in between were going on too. But anyway, the people of God, when they heard what was going on, of course, they set to praying and to bring down the authority of these evil entities. And as we can see, they had no effect whatsoever. And they should learn a lesson from that, but they won't, because it's their nature. So then the bigger, more experienced beast took off its human face, which was like a mask, and revealed its true identity. Well, why at this particular time in the middle of the tribulation period would he be doing that? Because men have taken the mark of the beast and their minds are given over to the beast. They are demon possessed. He no longer has to hide as he makes war on the saints. Everybody's going to agree with him that the saints are the problem. You understand? So the evil entity puts on a facade of goodness until he deceives and takes the mind of the masses. And Isaac said, this was the last power skill and authority that had to be demonstrated to the smaller vampire beast. The smaller beast then took its mask off, which resembled that of a man, and was able to reveal its true identity. And the identity of these beasts were reptilian slash alien looking. Yeah. Well, we know who the aliens are, even though the government may not. But we know who the aliens are. I remember my friend Colonel S.C. telling me about his going into the underground cities where the aliens were, and that he knew they were demons because they could at will pass through walls and so on and so forth, you know. So these beasts were reptilian in looking and alien looking, but their bodies are ruled by demon principalities. That's who's really under that, the skin of those men, those humans that are being used, is demon principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. The skin pigment was black and blue with scales. They had pointy ears, long oval-like faces, and were bald. Their mouth was arrayed with pointy teeth, with two fangs that stuck out from their mouths. Well, it kind of fits the vampire idea, right? And they stood there, shuddering and shaking, making growling noises, as the more experienced vampire beast supervised the smaller vampire beast. And I knew that the training of the smaller beast was now full grown and complete. Well, I believe by the middle of the tribulation period, the communists, not what we've normally and naturally and historically called communists, but these New World Order communists, the ones we're dealing with that we call the leftists, right? They will have taken over the earth. They will have taken control over the people of God. And they will be killing God's people. There's a reason God wants God's people to make a decision, to stand for Him and to lose their lives. You know, in Revelation chapter 13, it says they overcame Him, or Revelation 12, excuse me, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and because they loved not their life unto death. And in some cases, I know that the Lord has shown me that a person can die and escape death. Die to self and escape death, right? And that's what we're here for. There will be those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And the reason they're alive and remain is because they've walked in the crucified life. Some people think, oh, just because we call ourselves Christians, we're all going to fly away at that time. No, no. To him that overcometh. We have overcoming to do. We're here to live the crucified life, put to death the old man, and walk in the steps of Jesus, right? Just as he walked, we walk. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And he said, whosoever be of you that doesn't take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. So the same communist leftist spirit will come to crucify the saints around the world. And then this text, this larger text that, you know, covers a lot of other and larger types and shadows, but you can see this situation in there too. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and upon his heads names of blasphemy. So this is Revelation 13. This is the second 3.5 years, as he's going to tell you in a few minutes here. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. Dragon in the previous chapter is Satan. Gave him his power and his throne and great authority. In other words, Satan gave over the body of lost mankind into the hand of this more mature beast, and which the crowns are no longer on the heads, but on the horns. The 10 horns, the 10 continental divisions, the 10 toes of Daniel's vision, right? And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth wandered after the beast. So one of his heads was resurrected, you know. You say, how could this happen? How could the whole world be given over? Please pay attention to what's happening. Have you ever seen so many crazy people? And if you've been following with us, you know how these people got crazy. They listened to slander. This is how these demons get power. They slander. They tell lies, one right after another. Soon they're not even believable lies. They're stupid. And that's why we call them the stupid demons. And when people listen to slander, these demons take them over. We've seen it. We were surprised when it started happening in the world, but we had been already dealing with it for quite a while. And, of course, they wandered after the beast and worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. Yep, he's given dominion over his body, all mankind, over to the beast, this higher principality, right? Not higher than Satan, but Satan has given authority to this beast to make war on the saints, to break the covenant in the midst, right? Now, I'm not denying the revelation in Daniel 9, 26 and 27, where the principality at that time ruling over God's people in Jesus' day was the principality of the Roman Empire. And Daniel saw the Roman Empire from the thighs all the way down to the toes. It was the iron. And in the toes it became iron and clay because there were others, empires mixed in with the iron, which was strong, which was the Roman Empire. So all those years the Roman Empire was still with us. And even 2,000 years later, it says in Daniel 9, 26 and 27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Well, that was the same person who destroyed the sanctuary 2,000 years before. So you know that this is not a prince, but a principality. It says the prince that shall come. It's a principality. That's a demon force that lives for 2,000 years, you know? So, I mean, just read it carefully and you'll see what I'm talking about. It does not fit anything that these people say because they're all caught up in the letter. They don't see in the spirit. God hasn't revealed it to them, and so on. So the dragon is giving his authority to the beast. This is the toes, the 10 toes, you know, the 10 horns. That are crowned, the 10 continental divisions of planet Earth, breaking up all of these ethnic rivalries, right? Which is what they want to do. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to war with him? Well, the reason they say that is because all of the groups are in the beast. And the beast has no one to war against, but he does war against his natural enemy, the saints. He makes war against the saints. Now you know, when I've got to add this because people would question it if I didn't, that enemies can come as one against God's people and be smitten and ended up killing each other off, kind of like Jehoshaphat's scenario with Jerusalem and the three armies that came against him who were smitten and killed each other off and left them alone. So this is what's going to ultimately happen when God decides to destroy the beast. Is he is going to send division in their midst because they worked division in the earth, and they're going to kill each other off. Ultimately. And that's the end. There was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Well, they do that now. You know, the deep state's full of blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. So this beast, like I said, is the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years is mentioned in Revelation 12. The second in Revelation 13. Okay, this is a 42 months. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against God. So he's taken the mask off for blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in the heaven. So, you know, there's only two kinds of Christians on this earth. There's them that dwell on the earth, and there's those that dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You understand, heavenly places is a spiritual place, and it's in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, you're cast forth as a branch. You won't bear fruit, you're cast forth as a branch. So abiding in him is in heavenly places. And there are many Christians that dwell on the earth. They have no idea of walking in the Spirit. They're not filled with the Spirit. Don't have been talked out of being filled with the Spirit. And so they can't really hear and see the way spiritual people can do. Okay, they're captives to their own mind. And walking in the mind of the flesh is the mark of the beast. And multitudes of people who proclaim to be Christian are going to take the mark of the beast. I guarantee it. Because they're taking it spiritually, they'll also take it physically. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Everyone whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that hath been slain. So all are going to worship him who are not in the Lamb's book of life. And you say, well, there's an awful lot of Christians out there that I know they're not in the Lamb's book of life. And, you know, this last test of deny Christ and live, deny Christ and we'll meet all of your needs, we'll take care of you, etc., etc., the mark of the beast, so on and so forth. They're not going to be able to, they don't know how to walk in the Spirit. They don't know how to walk by faith in God. They haven't been taught faith in God. They actually teach against faith in God. And so they still have the mind of the beast, and many multitudes will take the mark, just as they have today. And, of course, we're told here that if any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. In other words, if anybody needs captivity, they need to make a decision to go with the Lord and to obey his word and to worship him only, which is a good one. And it goes on to say that many of these people, by the way, they know of no way to defend themselves but with a sword or with a gun or with a weapon. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Oh, no, that doesn't mean that, David. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Nope, God's people aren't going to be killing anybody. I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Turn the other cheek, etc., etc. This is the patience of the saints. They're going to hold to the word of God. They're not going to deny the word of God to save their flesh. They're not going to do it. So anyway, we just pointed out in this context how that this thing is ultimately going to come back. And the beast, by the way, is going to take over all of humanity who is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is going to be a sharp division. Yes. And the division is made after the fullness of the saints have come in. Amen. Well, I thought I would share with you some intelligence. Can't guarantee it's all perfect and right, but I will share some things that you probably, a lot of you, don't ever hear. there was obviously massive fraud in the 2020 election. Shalonda just had a dream that a friend of hers that works with her, who really doesn't like Trump at all, told her that Trump won the election. You know, and I believe in this dream it represents, you know, them getting the revelation that he actually did win this election. And the proof is out of this world, you know. It's been a massive fraud. Foreign interference in the U.S. election has been confirmed by Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe, though deep staters in the intelligence community were trying to delay his report, and they did delay his report, but he got enough of it out to let people know where the report stands. And this involved the CIA in conjunction with the cabal members of the Democratic Party and the Communist parties in China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Germany, Spain, and Canada. Again, he's talking about not everybody in those nations, but the Communist parties in those nations is what he's separating out here. And behind the scenes, it was known that there were enough House representatives and senators who would object to the Monday, December the 14th thing and electoral votes given to Biden to force the House vote. On January the 6th, 2021, the House vote would affirm the true electoral vote for Trump by a 27 GOP state legislator vote to a 20 Dem state legislator vote. So this is the way they solve this bypass, is each state gets one vote. And of course, Trump would win that. So the Supreme Court, we don't know exactly where they're at right now. They're keeping it more quiet because of all the hubbub that was raised up earlier. But we know who was stopping them from taking up this up. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Peter Navarro's 36-page report alleging election fraud was, quote, more than sufficient, unquote, to swing victory to Trump. It, quote, assesses fairness and integrity of the 2020 presidential election and concludes that, quote, patterns of election irregularities are so consistent across the six battleground states that they suggest a coordinated strategy to, if not steal the election, it was a steal, strategically game the election process in such a way as to unfairly tilt the playing field in favor of the Biden-Harris ticket. Amen. Well, it obviously happened. They have lots of proof, including the watermarked ballots, which they could follow very well, and which he basically disqualified all of the printed ballots that they had, all the Chinese ballots that they had, on and on and on, and which, of course, gave it to Trump. And they've got proof of all of this. And I'll share with you in a minute why more of this hadn't happened. Well, first of all, we saw in the revelations that we had that President Trump was going to be given a bunch of setbacks. And I believe the Lord showed us that this was because too many people were giving glory to him for these victories. And as you saw in the dream we shared here, he was proud about it and looking for affirmation instead of knowing that it was God who did it, you know. And, of course, because it was God who did it and because he didn't want to share his glory with another, the beast rose back up. And it shall. And when Trump finally brings it down, it will ultimately show back up. And that one head will come forward. And so, you know, the voting machines that was breached by the SolarWinds hack, you know, that was a major, major problem for the United States. It's involving a lot more major companies across the United States and around the world. And, of course, the Biden ticket outperformed counties using Dominion or Hart voting machines because these were planned to throw the vote. Created to throw the vote. So these cyber attacks now, this on the U.S. grid system and infrastructure, on Thursday, December the 17th, JFK Jr., yes, that's right, they do believe that Juan O'Savin is JFK Jr., and it could very well be, they could be right. I mean, this is from conservative people who are guaranteeing it's true. We shall see. It would be very interesting. It was one way that he could have escaped the deep state who was out to kill him, for sure. Anyway, JFK Jr. said a little over a week ago there was a cyber attack on the U.S. by globalists using a system developed by the CIA. Fox News, who isn't exactly reputable now, reported that Russia had been involved in the cyber attacks on the U.S. for over a year. Well, you know the Russian thing. Russia, 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 you know. I don't know. And it goes on to say, although it was suspected that China, not Russia, was the culprit. Yes. Okay. The Department of Energy and National Nuclear Security Administration were both hacked and compromised, revealing national security secrets and details about America's nuclear missiles, nuclear fuel, conventional power, grid assets, and more. A huge breach. This is the kind of thing that you do when you're getting ready to start a war. This is a major, major thing. So I would say every one of you out there needs to pray against this, that they're able to patch this problem. It looks impossible. It does put the United States at a really bad disadvantage. You'll remember the revelations that we've shared in the past of America being in the midst of a civil war when the Russians and the Chinese bombarded America's nuclear facilities because they knew all about them. Well, here it is. They know all about them. And this is not a good thing. Okay, here's a little bit of intelligence passed on down. Chief Supreme Court Justice John Roberts was compromised. Yeah, Trump attorney Lynn Wood announced that Chief Justice Roberts was refusing to litigate election fraud cases, having been compromised through his relationship with the cabal and Epstein's pedophile island. That's right, you got it. I don't know about you, but it stuck in my mind when Chief Justice Roberts took the helm and he was totally conservative and everything was chosen because of that, and suddenly he turned hard left and you could see guilt all over his face. I mean, it was amazing. We knew either he had been bribed or had been threatened or had whatever, you know. And now we know that Epstein Island, Epstein's pedophile island, was for taking pictures of important people. Maybe not so important, but people who thought they were important and people who other people think are important. In compromising positions so that they could blackmail them and get them on their side. And let me tell you, they got demon-possessed when they did that. Okay. And this note goes on. SCOTUS Chief Justice John Roberts was a pedophile who visited Epstein's Pedophile Island on Friday the 11th of December. He was one of who shouted down the other justices to intimidate them not to take the Texas lawsuit, and he blocked release of prosperity program deliveries for 20 years. And here's another big disappointment. Some of you are, we're talking about these setbacks, you know, that were going to come before the final victory, a very improbable final victory that seemed to have something to do with the military. Okay, so Department of Justice Attorney General Bill Barr has resigned. President of the United States moved Barr out of the Department of Justice just before Christmas, and while President of the United States and his team were legally and organizationally putting the restored republic into place. Yes, they're working on a major big deal, the Nasara thing. And all the nations of the earth have gathered together into it. It's amazing. Trump's attorney, Wood, JFK Jr., and our military intel contact stated that A.G. Barr was let go because of his connections to the cabal. Barr made a deal with Trump and would be working behind the scenes to help implement Nasara. that's the official statement. Whether it's true or not, they just might want to get him out of hot water with the deep state if he stayed on. So they may have done this. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. He was being replaced by a person who worked closely with General Flynn. Barr slowed down the Durham criminal investigation of the Russia hoax probe. And see, notice, all of the things that everybody was counting on to be strong became weak. God says his power is made perfect in weakness. God says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. He has not permitted any of these things to work. Not that he's not going to ultimately give the victory. I believe he is. But then everybody will know that all these great and mighty things that they had designed haven't really paid off. Too many criminals. Too many infestations of the deep state. So Barr slowed down the Durham criminal investigation of the Russia hoax probe, and since at least May of 2020, had hid the DOJ, FBI, and IRS investigations of Joe and Hunter Biden. From 2009 until 2018, Dominion paid Barr $1.2 million in cash and was granted another $1.1 million in stock awards. Barr's father, Donald Barr, was Jeffrey Epstein's mentor. Donald wrote a novel about men in their 40s having sex with teenagers. So you can see there was some a really nasty history there. Barr's first job given to him by his father was in an all-girls prep school. It was known that Barr collected cash and valuables from raids that he conducted during his job. JFK Jr. stated that Barr was dirty and involved in drug running. Okay. So again, I don't know about all of this. This is supposedly coming from the people who know next to Trump, intel people, so on and so forth. And on Thursday, December the 17th, something big happened at the Oval Office, after which President Trump said they were declassifying everything. He told his staff to get out of D.C., and the Chinese elders working with the RV team with President Trump left to go home. JFK Jr. said they were arresting the Clinton, Podesta, and others, and declassifying everything. So they're putting it all out there. Of course, WikiLeaks, as you know, posted everything. They declassified it all. It's all on the internet, and people are going through it, including Hillary's emails and all this other stuff, you know. It's a wow. It's all getting out there. Now, who's going to do something with it? We thought we had a pretty good Supreme Court there, and so far it's been stalemated, you know. What they're going to do with John Roberts, I don't know. I guess they're going to do something pretty quickly. It may wait till martial law. In martial law, there's nobody that can stop the president from going out and taking these lawbreakers up, picking them up, taking them to Gitmo, making them a deal, or not making them a deal, whatever. Our military intel contact felt that 70% of our government politicians needed to be arrested and prosecuted for being deep state and Chinese Communist Party puppets. It's true. They've been invading and bribing, sending in their harlots, everything else, you know, to try to bring down these people. And they're getting caught, too. They're, you know. The alliance was in the process of charging certain officials with treason for conspiring with foreign powers in an attempt to turn the U.S. into a socialist nation through the fraudulent 2020 presidential election of a Chinese Communist Party compromised Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. True. Martial law. Juan O'Savin, who is, they say, JFK Jr., said we had to let the public know that all the legal machinations didn't work and we could not get justice from the Justice Department. You hearing what I'm saying here? We would have to use martial law and Gitmo to obtain justice. Barr was dirty and involved in drug running. He was being replaced by a person who worked closely with General Flynn. with the Constitution hanging by a thread and the fraudulent 2020 election pitting state against state in the courts, the alliance predicted a potential and probable need for President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act and a form of martial law in order to maintain law and order. I believe he's pretty well cornered here, and a lot of his, you know, big guns have been taken down. Is he going to lose? No, he's not. Because God's going to show his power. You know, what he's showing is that all the glorification of President Trump, although he's a very smart man and he's done a lot of good, and I appreciate everything that he's done to help Christians, conservatives, you know, Constitution, you know, Nasara, all these things. He's done a great job. Okay. If riots and chaos did break out, phones and the internet may be down for a short period of time. So you need to count on the possibility of this. Let me say that it's been discovered for a long time that the Chinese are pretty well able to bring down the grid because of their equipment being in it. They are able to bring down the grid pretty much when they want to. That would kill an awful lot of people. Think about, you know, having the food that they talk about, non-perishable type foods, where it doesn't necessarily take a freezer or something like that, you know, non-perishable type foods. For a few months. They started out saying just 2 weeks, and I think now they think it's a little bit harder to do and bring to pass in 2 weeks. So they've upped the ante a little bit into a month to 6 weeks in some cases. So that's why it goes on to say here, recommended to stock up a month's supply of food, water, medicine, batteries, and solar chargers in the event such happened. Trump's intelligence and the military team members have put everything in place for an Insurrection Act scenario. That's good. Looks like they're being forced in that direction. Martial law was at the doorstep. I don't doubt it. It was expected that President Trump would declare limited martial law in Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona. Troops would then seize election offices and oversee the recount or a re-vote. I vote for a re-vote, especially in those states, because they are proven criminal. Under the 12th of September 2018 executive order, 13848, against election foreign interference, POTUS would exercise broad powers through the military to seize all Dominion voting system or Smartmatic machines in the six battleground states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and force them to be forensically analyzed to expose the digital vote switching fraud. They already did one state, I believe, and have proven just exactly what they said. Switching fraud that stole the election fraudulently for Biden on Tuesday to Wednesday 3 to 4 November. Or POTUS could force through the military that the election vote be redone in the six battleground states under the president's executive order. Okay, well, now it goes into the news of Nasara, so on and so forth. Let me see. There's one other thing I wanted to share. You know, I sent President Trump last week an email One thing I suggested to him was take a lesson from David and Goliath. Go for the head. This is a note that's in here, too. It says, the Western Deep State, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Wall Street banksters, Michael Bloomberg, big tech corporations, Google, YouTube, Twitter, Amazon, Facebook, CNN, and fake stream mainstream media, et al., offered the U.S. to China to become the United States of China, or China America, in exchange for China for giving the deep state cabals fiat dollar trillions in debt. So, you know, they had trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions. And that's all been robbed by them, by Trump. He's repatriated their money, the money that the Vatican stole because they were part of the deep state, that the English stole. They repatriated, and plus what they found in the underground cities, just tons and tons and tons of gold, silver. Guy, I believe that President Trump, if these people will get out of the way one way or the other, he will restore this economy very quickly. But instead, I think we're coming towards, you know, insurrection, attacks, so on and so forth, to bring about what God told us he was going to do. And he keeps telling us over and over in our morning meetings, he gives us verses concerning the exact same thing. He's going to do it. He's going to chasten. Is he going to bring his people out of bondage? Yes. But that details bringing down the Babylonish beast over them, including their false leadership. Yes, God loves his people. He wants to bring them out of bondage. It's going to take this chastening for them to realize that their leaders don't know what to do. Obviously, God had to send Moses to the people of God in Egypt to lead them into the wilderness. Their leaders did not know what was going on in the world. They had been also in bondage to Egypt, and their wisdom was corrupted, so to speak. So God's got a solution. But the people who have actually run the world, the families and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and big techs and, you know, all these other money-grubbing people, they have offered to give over the United States to China, according to this intel. And the Chinese, by the way, have a military presence, a strong military presence in Canada and in Mexico, and off the coast. That's right. Their navies are out there waiting. Of course, if they get involved, the process will be stretched out. Okay, no doubt. So you can pray. I mean, I gave you these things so you can pray, you know, exercise your faith. And we want to see these big criminal companies brought down. Whether this hack will in effect affect them too, I don't know, but it seems that the deep state is the one that has used this hack and has used it to favor the Chinese and has used it to make America weak. They are the greatest traitors that have ever come along. So, and, you know, demon-possessed. I mean, you offer sacrifices to Satan, he'll take all you can give him, you know. and he has basically taken them over. Well, Father, we know that you've told us that Cyrus will finish his job of bringing down Babylon and freeing his people to rebuild the true kingdom. As we know, the man-child, Jesus, came to rebuild the true kingdom of God. But the status quo hated him because he basically was superseding their authority, which was nil, you know, over anything that had to do with the Satan. They didn't fight Satan. They fought the people who fought Satan, like Jesus and his disciples, you know. So, Lord, we know that you're going to be victorious in setting your people free, and that they will, at that time, have a restored fear of the Lord, which, of course, all these things that we're seeing is returning the people to. We're not afraid of these things we're reading here. Lord, we're not afraid of them. We know you are sovereign over all things, and that you have put these things in order for your own purpose, that all of the great power of man that's been shown and threatened to use against the enemy has failed, and that you have, they still have some opportunity, of course, with martial law and so on. So we thank you, Father, that it's ultimately going to be victorious, but you are going to be seen as the Savior and the Deliverer, and it's your power and not the power of man. The power of man will come to an end, but your power will remain, and your power will save and deliver your people. You've never needed the power of man. In the Old Testament, when Israel fought wars, quite often when they were in the majority, they lost. But when they were in the minority and cried out to you, you saved them. And even when they repented or when they cried out to you, you saved them. And your power is made perfect in weakness, and their weakness is being known. And the weakness now is being known against the deep state, which has infiltrated the whole world and the governments of the whole world. And Lord, we know that this victory is ours. Lord, you've shown us that you're coming, not in the way that the world is talking about, but that you are coming. And you have told us in the past many, many times, and you've shown in the scriptures that you do a visitation to your people in a time of great shaking and great earthquakes. And now we're seeing this. We're seeing these shakings of the earth multiplied many times. And the victory, Lord, you're going to give to your people is going to be tremendous. And we put our trust in you, Father. We know that your power is over and above anything that man can do, and that you work all things according to your will in the earth. And that we will put our trust in you and have our faith in you and put our prayers towards you and have our confidence towards you, and that God can then, of course, use people like President Trump and so on and so forth. We thank you for the victory, Lord. It's ours. We know it. We know that there's massive earthquakes happening on the West Coast, all the way to the Arctic, I believe. Massive earthquakes down on the Juan de Fuca fault or plate line, massive earthquakes that are happening. And I believe that this is a sign of Planet X coming in, and that it's going to, like Haggai speaks, shake all things. And many nations will be overthrown at that time. When in Haggai, the man-child there was shown to be the man-child. The victory was given when the shakings happened. Very significant. I'll just read a piece of that text to you. It says, that's Haggai, well, chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Well, we're seeing signs of that. Very strong signs of that. And I will shake all nations, and the precious of all nations shall come, or the desire of all nations shall come. And and I will fill this house with glory. So, and what are they doing? They're there to rebuild the kingdom of God, rebuild the house of God, etc. And that's exactly where we are today. And this great shaking, once more, the heavens and the earth, well, this is the shaking of Planet X, I'm pretty sure. And we're getting very close. As it gets closer, the earthquakes get worse, and so on. "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts." And when he speaks of Zerubbabel, you know, Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was a type of the man-child ministry. He was a leader here. And it is said in verse 20 on down, "And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak unto Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms." These earthquakes are going to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. "And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them." So now he's applying something that's long past, you know, Pharaoh's army chasing God's people. But here we are again in this situation, and Pharaoh's army is chasing God's people. God applies these chariots and so on to the Babylonish captivity. When Cyrus came and delivered God's people, he applied that many times, calling it, you know, another Red Sea experience. "And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down." That is those who are chasing God's people. This shaking is going to bring an end of the Edomites' attacks against God's people. And I'm using that term in both the church and state that are chasing God's people. "And every one by the sword of his brother." So he's going to turn them against one another. And as we can see, they have a method of dealing with the need for evidence by capturing people, threatening them, showing them what they can do, and letting them talk. And they, of course, are ratting out one another and so on. I really don't believe Biden's going to last very long either, because he has so many enemies. He knows too much, and he's got a very loose tongue. Their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brethren. In that day shall the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, or a sign of authority, right? For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. So this great shaking, I believe, is going to bring forth the man-child ministry. It's going to bring down many worldly kingdoms. And we're seeing signs of this now. And it's tremendous what's going on. It's the Cascadia subduction zone. It says thousands of tiny earthquakes hit deep under western Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia again, and indicate that the Cascadia mega quake is coming soon. And this is in Strange Sounds. And they're showing a picture of all these quakes that are all about the same depth down where the Juan de Fuca slides under the shelf. A swarm of thousands of tiny earthquakes deep under western Washington, Oregon, British Columbia started again back in October of 2020. And these small quakes are happening to 40 to 60 miles deep, where the lower slab of the oceanic Juan de Fuca plate moves toward and eventually is shoved beneath the continent, the North American plate he's talking about, along the Cascadia subduction zone. And boy, there are just a lot of them. These small tremors have been called silent earthquakes, which have a deep tremor and slow slip. Collectively, they move enough to slightly change the surface of the earth. Near them, the tiny epicenters pop as that plate slides. They will last for weeks until the event is over. While most earthquakes are fairly random in time, the tremor runs on a schedule, occurring about every 14 months. The last slow slip event occurred in September 2019. So that, then we're looking from Seattle all the way down into California, these slow slip earthquakes. Major slow slip event in Puget Sound increases risk of big earthquakes near Seattle along the Cascadia subduction zone. A major seismic event is underway, and scientists at the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network are saying the Puget Sound could be at a higher risk for earthquakes. The event is called a slow slip event. Brings tiny tremors in the region that could potentially lead to a larger earthquake at the Cascadia subduction zone. The silent earthquakes release the equivalent energy of magnitude 6 earthquake. Scientists didn't know that these existed 20 years ago. In 2002, 2003, they started realizing that these tremor events take place deep under western Washington. Mm-hmm. And these things happen at subduction zones. You know, every time there is a small movement like that, it stress relieves an area. But it also puts stress on other areas. And whatever grabs the sliding fault line, there's a stress there. But the stress reliefs happen, and many times in between the stress reliefs, we see stress. They're building up stress. We're being told, and the earth is telling us, that this is a dangerous situation. And here's one. Antarctica's going through the same situation. 50,000 earthquakes in 3 months. Why is Antarctica shaking like crazy? More than 50,000 earthquakes in 3 months baffle scientists. I don't know if all those scientists are baffled. I think a lot of people know, they can't say, but they know, you know, what's causing this. Many weird phenomena are currently taking place in Antarctica. While enigmatic deep space signals are hitting the surface of the continent, more than 50,000 tremors have rocked Antarctica since the end of August. Such an impressive spike in seismic activity has never been witnessed by scientists. A major M6, as well as thousands of other small quakes, were all detected in the Bransfield Strait, a 60-mile-wide, 96-kilometer ocean channel between the South Shetland Islands and the Antarctic Peninsula. Although several tectonic plates and microplates meet near the strait and thus frequently rumbling, the past 3 months have been unusual, according to the University of Chile. Most of the seismicity was concentrated at the beginning of the sequence, mainly during the month of September, with more than 1,000 earthquakes a day, the center said. The shakes have become so frequent that the strait itself, once increasing in width at a rate of about 7 or 8 millimeters a year, is now expanding 15 centimeters, about 6 inches a year. It's a 20-fold increase, which suggests that right this minute, the Shetland Islands are separating more quickly from the Antarctic Peninsula. And on. They have no clear answer, they say, to why this is happening. But the shaking, I think, are signs of the bigger shakings that we're going to see. And I believe they're coming with the man-child, because we've had so many dreams and visions about this, and the Bible itself speaks about this great shaking coming at the time of the man-child, which is really the coming of the Lord, right? The Lord is coming in His people. He's coming to save His people. I do believe that God's people will be in dire straits when the Lord comes. And these earthquakes are signs of the Lord's coming. I suspect the closer we get to spring and early summer, the worse this might get. We will see. At any rate, we know that the Lord is coming to set the captives free. He's told us that many times. He also has shown us great chastenings, you know, that are going to come upon His people to bring them to repentance. He has warned us, I think, on the 21st/22nd, to make sure everything is right with Him. And, of course, the interesting thing is that I believe that's the beginning of winter, which is Great Tribulation. It sounds like something big is coming. And I don't doubt at all that if Trump declares martial law, there'll be massive rebellion, or if he declares that the election was rigged and he's taking authority in order to prove that, there'll be mass insurrection. And if so, I remember the general's email that they sent out several years ago, that when this thing started, he wanted the people to stay out of the way, have food and water in their houses, go in your house and stay out of the way, leave it up to the military. And I guess they're still speaking that, but they're definitely going to use the Marines, and they're definitely going to use the military in this regard. Our dreams have shown that too. Well, Father, we love peace. We'd like to see peace. We know you have some things to do. We know that when Moses, who came out of his wilderness to the people of God, come, he brought shaking to Egypt, commanding Pharaoh, who was the god at that time, to set his people free. And Lord, this shaking was not for the purpose of harming God's people. It was for the purpose of causing them to be set free. And Lord, thank you for what you're doing among the people. Thank you for revelations getting out of this great conspiracy, this great organized crime that's been with us for hundreds of years. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring it to an end and bring about this time when the kingdom can be built. Lord, you gave your peace to your people. You sent them out of Babylonish captivity. You provided for them a Cyrus to set them free and to make opportunity for them to go back and build their kingdom. And that's where we are now. We're right there. Well, Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you have going to provide everything to rebuild the true kingdom of God. And what we've been seeing out there has nothing to do with the true kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of men, much like it was when Jesus, you came to earth and you discovered that they had totally perverted Judaism, and that they had totally turned away from you, had their own ideas, you know, strained out gnats and swallowed camels. And Lord, that's the way they're doing today, Lord. They have their ideas about what's got to be done and so on and so forth, but they're not following your spirit, Lord. And we know that you are going to have your people ready to go into the wilderness. And you're going to pour out your spirit upon them. They'll be baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Water baptism and a spirit baptism. That's an awesome thing, Lord. The overwhelming majority of your people have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, as described in the Scriptures. And their leaders have told them, you don't need that. You've got the Holy Spirit already. And so, Lord, this is going to be an awesome revelation, first of all, of things that we have done so wrong as far as pledging allegiance to this country and what it's actually been behind the scenes, and what they have done with the money, the taxes, and everything. They've lavished on themselves like all criminal entities do, like all communist entities do, when they claim they're serving the people. They're all just a bunch of organized crime. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the changes that are coming. We know some of them will be harsh and some of them will be painful. And we'll see things that we don't like to see. But we put our trust in you. You always know best. You always know what you're doing. And we ask you, Lord, to grant us to be have your favor, so that we are in agreement with you in all of these things. And thank you, Father, for your great mercy shown to your people. Thank you, Lord, for the innocent who, you know, are like all of us. At one time, we were traveling through Babylon trying to decide what's right, what's wrong, and hadn't made all the right decisions, but we were still looking and looking for truth and loving truth. And Lord, I pray for those people out there that are innocent and searching for you and want more, who may be caught up in some religious captivity, Babylonish captivity. and that you will set them free, Father. We know that you've shown us that these judgments that are coming are going to do that, and that your people are going to serve you. They're going to have an awakening. They are going to have their eyes opened to understand and to see. And at the same time, Lord, you've also told us, like you told the Jews in Matthew 13, that you had closed their eyes and their ears. And there are a lot of very religious people who are very Pharisaical in their ways, and they won't hear the word of the Lord, and they persecute your people. And we know, Lord, that you're going to remove them from a position of authority that hurts your people. You told us you were going to do that, and we thank you for it. You told us you're going to bring down the faction, and we thank you for it. We believe it's going to be done. Your people are going to be set free from those demons that are ruling over them harshly. Deceivers, liars, fornication, all these things. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you're our Savior and you're going to finish the good work you started. Lord, we pray for our brethren out there who are in captivity. We pray, Lord, that you'll have mercy, that you'll open their understanding and cause the discernment to enter in, that you'll return their conscience to them, and that they will have a conscience of the word, that you will do this for your people to deliver them from captivity. Lord, you have an elect everywhere, all over the earth. People even like Apostle Paul, who persecuted and hated your people, and yet you got his attention. You got his attention. Please do it again, Lord. Please do it again. We need more Pauls. Get their attention, Lord. Open their discernment. Open their understanding. Grant grace, Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask that you draw us unto yourself, Lord. Cause us to pray every day. Look how important these things are that are happening out there in our government, and the great failures, and making us weak in the eyes of the nations, you know, with all these revelations of all of our important and hidden things, you know, nuclear secrets and so on and so forth. Lord, I ask that you put it in the heart of your people to pray so they can see some success from you, and that they will put their faith in you and not in man, not glorifying men. Lord, it's not a good thing when men get glorified, because you permit failure when that happens pretty consistently. And Lord, we can't afford to see failure in this regard and what's going on. We can't afford to lose this country. We pray, of course, Lord, that the hack can be repaired, there are plans aside to take care of these things, and so on and so forth. But at least we know, Lord, that we're in a position of weakness, and it's only going to be you that saves. Lord, we know that there are Chinese and Russian navies off the coast, for goodness sake. What are they doing? We don't really know. We know that they're over our northern border and our southern border, the Chinese, and that they were in total agreement with overthrowing this election, that they had ballots printed and shipped into the country by the jillions. And thank you, Father, that you brought this down, that you're going to show this to people. But these criminals had a full plan to turn this country over to communism. And the communist deep state people were in full agreement with them, and much against a government that's done more good in this land than we've ever seen in our lifetimes. It's just amazing. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that it has been mercy, and we ask for your grace. We ask that you deliver us from the evil that you cleanse us of the deep state, that you put the deep state on the run, Lord, that they do tell on each other, and that they turn against each other, much like the Jehoshaphat scenario that you've given us quite a few times too, you know, where the three armies came and you divided them, and all they did was praise God. They went out praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, and you gave them the victory, and they didn't even have to fight in the battle. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, we too, Lord, we don't want to fight in the flesh or with the arm of the flesh or put our trust in the arm of the flesh or weapons or even our government. We want to put our trust in you. We thank you for doing it, Lord, working in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. Hallelujah. Well, all right, saints, God bless you and keep you. Hope this has informed you a little bit about things that are coming and also about things that are happening now. Might be a disappointing thing to some of you, but don't worry. Your prayers are going to bring us through this. So keep on praying and believing God, doing spiritual warfare, casting down the enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.